For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Kelly Grant, Cindy Burgess Gerson,
Just Saying,
Kelly Barlow, and Christy Dougherty. We love you girls! Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old brav. It's a below deck horn. I'm Ronnie Caron from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor in Paradise podcast. And here I am with my official, wonderful internet husband and BFF, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender podcast. Hello, Bean.
Hello. I can't believe we've made it. We've made it to Below Deck Day, and I'm so happy because we can finally put a week of madness behind us, because not only did we have our crazy live show, which is up, and sorry again to everyone whose file got was weird. It was, of course, the glitch on our most important show. But not only was that over and that crazy experience, but in a pure coincidence, we were invited down to enjoy some drinks with Kelly Dodd at the Quiet Woman on Tuesday night, and that was pure madness and super fun. And now all our housewives and crappin' stuff is over, and it's back to being normal people.
Well, yeah, if you can call it that.
That was a bonk night. Kelly, we got to go hang out with Kelly. So basically, I have a friend who is friends with Kelly, and she had separately, and it's like, I'm gonna arrange a thing where we all go to the Quiet Woman. So we went down there. We went to Kelly's house. Her house is enormous. I couldn't even believe how big it was. And she took us on tour. We saw her. Her closet was like the size of literally my apartment. Probably yours too, right? Maybe both combined.
Bigger, because it had like a hallway and then a separate part.
Yeah, it had a balcony. It had its own washer and dryer, her closet. I had never seen anything like it.
I know. And as I told her, the only thing that grosses me out of it about that is thinking that she's doing her own washer and her own washing and drying. She's like, of course.
Yeah. And so we went to the Quiet Woman, and then we wound up doing the Kelly Dodd facing against the window. And it was like really fun to do it for the photo. But afterwards, I was like, that was the most disgusting thing I've done all year.
Yeah. When we put our face on that window, I saw that there was already a big open mouth and a Carmex nose thing from there. Yes. 'Cause like some girl with a lot of lip smackers had just done it.
Yeah.
But I didn't care, you know.
Anything for the gram. Anything for the gram.
It is worth it. That picture is worth it. Every penny. And someone in the comments said, please say that Kelly is taking that picture. And yes, Kelly was taking that picture.
It was. I think it was actually her idea, in fact.
Leave it up to us to go meet Kelly and be like, can we get a picture of ourselves at the window that you blew on?
Yeah, she was bonkers. She was pretty much everything you'd expect, but also really nice. So it was a good time.
Yes,
good time.
In the best way. All the best sides. And of course, you know, what does that turn into? Me just getting as belligerent. So we had so much fun. And Ben drove, and on the way you were saying, I'll drive. And I was like, you're going to deal with two me's on the way up there? And sure enough, on the way back, Ben said, you're two peas in a pod. And I was like, ouch. True.
Yeah.
That was a truth ouch.
Yeah, that was, sorry, Ronnie. I didn't mean to truth ouch you, but Kelly and Ronnie were two peas in a pod. Because at a certain point, because here's what would happen. If you were going to talk to Kelly, you have a 30-second window before she's just interrupts and goes on to her own tangent. So, our friend Becky and I, we would try to tell some stories here and there where I'd be like, so I found this really cool watch. And it was really funny because I've been looking for a watch and this one was really nice. She'd be like, hey guys, seagull.
And I was like, I hate seagulls.
Yeah. It's 'cause like, you would start going on one of your rants And then she was like, I know, I know. And then she would rant about something. And you guys just kept ranting to each other.
Well, with loud, belligerent people, you have to match loudness or be louder. That's really the only way around it. It's how I was raised, and it's how I continue my adult life. And it's why I'm kept out of a lot of things.
Well, I did what I relied on my favorite coping mechanism, which was digging into some garlic bread. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat carbs. But no, it was like totally fine, obviously. Yeah, but you guys were communicating in some weird way. It was so strange. The way I was like sitting there watching, like you guys were just like on the wavelength.
I told her, if you're the president, you're going to be like, they go low, I go lower. And then she kept saying, don't you agree? And I was like, you go low, Kelly. And she would just start laughing. I love that. Yeah, I love when we can meet people and just be honest, you know?
Yeah, because she can take it. Because she was, you know, she would say like, and so then I tell her this. And we'd be like, Kelly, that is low and despicable. She's like, I know. And she just like laughs and like pours up your champagne glass.
Yes, and thank you so much for driving all the time. I owe you a big old gas tank, but it really was fun to be able to get drunk. But on the way home, you know that coming down from being drunk, it's like, you know, I'm used to being in bed by the time that point hits where I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to bed, crash. That's why I go drink 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah, well, that was the hard part was like knowing, I was like, I think I'm ready to like put a bow on this evening and then go home. It's like, no, we have to drive all the way up from Newport Beach. But we talked about Big Brother, like, all the way back, and that probably sobered you up a lot, too.
It made me so grateful that I haven't wasted my time, because I quit that a couple of weeks ago because I couldn't
take it. After
Cody left. And then you telling me all the stupidity right in a row like that, I was like, well, thanks for saving me that time.
Yeah. So we'll talk about we could probably, like, circle back to Big Brother on our next bonus episode. And for those of you wondering about the Andy Cohen one-on-one with Luann de Lesseps, you know, where he has that promo up where he's like, we came all the way out to Sag Harbor to ask Luann how she feels about being heard by Tom D'Agostino and a bottle of rosé, Sag Harbor, now.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, welcome, I'm in a driveway at Luann's house. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
We're going to talk about that on our next bonus episode.
Yeah, it was like a murder episode. He's like, I'm standing out here with a bottle of rosé, because as you all know, what started as Regency News and then became Upper East Side News and then New York City News and then American News and then international news.
This news is so breaking, I couldn't even shave for it. He posted like a promo on his Instagram, and Bethany Frankel comments. She's like, what is this, like Diane Sawyer goes to Sag Harbor, huh? Which is actually funny.
In his dirty Converse and his... I mean, it was priceless. And of course, basically, we'll talk about this more on the bonus episode next week. But basically, for those of you wondering, it was just Luann going, oh, no, I mean, of course I had blinders on, Andy, but I have a new song, a mattress collection, and candles, and a new tote that says, you know, I'm every woman, or whatever. Bobby's fault. #Hashtag Bobby's fault. Now, but not Tom's, because he didn't cheat.
Now it makes sense why she did not retweet Do the D'Agostino, because she was on the verge of divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do the Lesseps, because I'll always be a countess on the inside. Is Queen Latifah a queen, Andy?
Antifa. That's what I should call myself. Antifa.
I'm all about nonviolence. With Tom in a restaurant.
I'll tell you one thing. I love luxury and I hate fascism. Would you believe it, Andy? Fascist.
I wasn't violent in the restaurant. I was just angry. So I pulled an Antifa and grabbed Tom's face to look at me. He's like, wait a minute. I don't know much about politics, but...
Andy Cohen, there are fine people on both sides of the story. I'm friends with all my ex-fascists.
Oh, Lord. All right, so we're skipping the big news here.
The big news.
Huge news.
The big news.
Which
big
is
news.
That not only is Below Deck back... But they have taken a page from their, you know, little sister show, Below Deck Med, and just hired a ton of people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're like, well, the boat could crash, but we'll keep Kate pissed off, the captain screaming, and we'll get to laugh at a bunch of idiots trying to figure out how to work an iron.
Yeah, we're going to this year the producers were like, we don't really care if Valor sinks, you know. In fact, the owners told us we can scrap the boat, so we're just going to put a bunch of newbies on there and hope for the best. By the way, we should mention, by the way, the timing is not great. Well, not it's not great, but the show here premiered Tuesday night in St. Martin, and poor St. Martin just got ravaged by Irma. You know, these hurricane situations are terrible. So to all the people who are in St. Martin and the Caribbean and you know, Florida, et cetera, like,
my God, Puerto Rico, everywhere. I mean, Puerto Rico, so much of that was flattened, you know, and it is weird when you're living in a 24-hour news cycle and you see this shit all day, and I'm, you know me, I'm always thinking they're just trying to make it look bad. Like when they say there's a rainstorm, but then it sprinkles, you know. No, it is not that. It is very, very, very fucking bad. And to everybody who's dealing with that, you know.
Yeah, Barbuda just basically got totally flattened. So everyone, just give to the Red Cross and, you know, and don't, obviously, our Houston friends. We said it last week. We'll say it again to our Houston listeners. We love you. And everyone, just go to the Red Cross and support all our Southern Texas, Louisiana peeps, as well as now our Caribbean and Florida peeps. So, you know,
and as much
we got to do what we can.
As much as the news is making us think we hate our neighbors so much, those of us who really live in the real world know that that's not all the case. You know, go out there and help your fucking neighbors. We all the same, okay? When it's raining and your house is destroyed and everything's fucked, you know, your neighbor is all you can count on. And remember that we're all just people in these times, so put that shit aside and go help
your neighbor. I've seen my neighbors here in Hollywood. I'm like, I gotta rely on that guy?
No. Girl, sometimes you even gotta help the axe murderer. You know, I was telling you guys there's an axe murderer in my neighborhood, and they caught his ass the other day. And even people in the comment thread are like, poor thing, he must have real mental issues. And I'm like, you know, these tree-hugging hippies, but at the same time, like, that's so nice.
It is nice, but he, like, when you told me about that on the drive back from Kelly Dodd's place, it was one of the many topics. You know, naturally, after you hang out with Kelly Dodd, you're going to have to start talking about axe murderers. You're like, I don't understand it. I was on nextdoor.com and 1 minute they're saying there's an axe murder. Next they say there's a squirrel that's making noise. And I thought you were being hyperbolic. And then I got home and I was like, oh, there is a guy with an axe loose in Hollywood who like thwacked this guy. Here's why you shouldn't have sympathy for this guy and his mental issues. Because he was shoplifting and a good Samaritan was like, offered to pay for his stuff so that way he wouldn't be accused of the crime. And what'd the guy do? He thwacked him with an axe in the face.
Yeah. And didn't he cut off his hand or something?
I actually don't know.
The neighborhood gossip, because I've heard it gets bigger every day, but at first I thought people were exaggerating, and no, they weren't. The same lady who told me the first time was like, did you hear he got someone's hand? He chopped her hand off. And I was like, oh my God.
It's terrible. But you know where they found? They found him right outside of Ronnie's house, so that was good.
Jeez.
But you probably would have been like, you know what? Shut the fuck up. This axe? No.
No, I would have been like, an axe? There's an avocado tree right there. Why would you hit a fat guy when you can get like a month's worth of avocados? Get to guacamoling, buddy. You know, sometimes you just have to. I've learned to aim my negativity at other things, and it's helped me in my real life. You know, so maybe I could help the axe killer.
Yeah.
Oh, and what are you stealing from 7-Eleven worth a hand? It's like, are M&Ms worth that much? I mean, I've been on Weight Watchers. I know they feel that they're worth that much when you're on a diet or something. But this guy was already thin. I don't feel for him.
So that's just our way of saying that we're really excited that Below Deck is back.
Yes, because if there's someone with an axe on Below Deck, you ain't getting away from them.
Yeah, we're the ones who have axes to grind around here.
Yeah, some of these people could have an axe. Of these people are fucking nuts. They're like, hey, let's get someone like Rocky, but probably crazier, slightly trashier, named after carbs, just to piss Kate off the whole time. Enter Baker.
The show opens with like we sort of meet everyone all at once. Like they're all talking, and you know, Captain Lee is talking about how he has angst about the crew being so green, and Nico's saying how he's more mature this year, but his freak still likes to come out and play. And then we start to meet some of the newbies, and Jen is saying how she wants – Jen is one of the new ones. She's the one who's got like that – she sort of has like a sock puppet face, you know, in like a really adorable way. Like Rachel Dratchy face with long
it's
blonde
like
hair.
It's like Rachel Dratch with a consistent, extremely high dosage of Adderall.
Yeah.
Her eyes are just popped open. She does look like she's played by Rachel Dratch. That's so funny.
Yeah. Like Rachel Dratch and blonde highlights.
Jen.
Jen. And
I
she's
just
like,
call her a new dumb girl. But she's like, ironically, I've never been south of Orlando. Okay. That's her first line in the show. So yeah. I was like, this is my girl. Okay.
She's already defining herself in her relation to Orlando. So that's already curious.
She's already using ironic wrong. And nobody's shocked that you've never been south of Orlando, okay? Nobody. Nobody, Jen. Like, literally nobody, Jen.
Okay? She's like, I mean, I would have been, but South America is not represented at Epcot.
How would she know that? She'd be like, what's the country with the giant chicken legs? I've been there at Epcot. Ironically, I've been there.
She's like, well, one thing I do love is like how close China and Italy are to each other. You know, you can just walk right over from country to country.
Now we get Matt Sheff, who's like this really nice guy from Canada.
Right. I thought he was gay. Like, I'm not even trying to be like that. I just assumed he was the gay cast member. But no, he's not. I don't think he is.
You know, we're getting to the point in the world where every guy who's nice is like automatically assumed gay, which I think is something for the gay movement, because it used to be like the bitchy one is always the gay one, and now it's like, oh, someone who's really nice, which really goes to show how much we've worked on our attitude, gays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did it.
Thanks to all you nice gays who have helped us with our reputation out there in the world.
Yeah. So yeah, Matt's the new chef, and he's like nice, and he's cute, really cute. And then we have Brianna, who's like, I just really like the nomadic lifestyle, which makes me wanna like hate her. I don't know why.
Yeah, because she looks like really nice and sweet and innocent. She does not look like the kind of girl to be running from Capital One bills, because that's what that means. Let's face it. Like, that's why I'm nomadic. I used to move once a year because I thought Capital One would like actually knock on my door. But before I found out they didn't have robots to come knock on your door.
I feel like she's the type that would say this sort of shit and be like open and progressive, but she'd be the first one to move to Silver Lake in a fancy house and kick out like some bodega because she doesn't like the look of it.
Yes, exactly.
She's like a total NIMBY type, you know?
She's one of those girls who doesn't ever take a shower because like she's saving water or like she's trying to just say in public that she's saving water. She's like, do you smell me? It's because I'm saving water. Enjoy the drought, you pig.
She shops in the annoying aisles at Whole Foods.
Yes, she's in those like tincture aisles.
Yeah, yes, those aisles that no one uses except for her.
The only aisles with help with customer service in the aisle.
Yeah, she gets this. She like buys that like weird Whole Foods mayonnaise that's like not as good as just like your standard Hellman's
or Veganaise.
She just gets like that weird shit. Like, you know, there's certain shit you don't get at Whole Foods, like certain basic shit that you don't do, and she gets it. You
Condoms.
Know? She probably gets like. She probably gets, like, recycled toilet paper. It's, like, brown.
Although I have to say, I do get into their vegan blue cheese dressing because it's my only choice at the salad bar, and it's delicious. I don't know how they do it. But the only reason I go through the tincture aisle is to, like, mock people and push them out of my way.
She's probably there tincturing it up.
So this girl named Baker is the Rocky. She's got, like, Rocky teeth, Rocky smile. But she says, I'm a ghetto gypsy diva. I travel around in an RV and I talk like that. I'm like, oh, good. A drug addict who's like staying away from the law. I'm liking this girl already.
Yeah.
A baker. How can you not love a baker?
I know. I actually was getting more Rocky vibes from Brianna, but maybe there's like a little bit of Rocky in everyone now. It's like that movie Lucy. She's everywhere.
Well, Jen has the crazy eyes, right? She's got the popping open eyes.
Yeah,
this girl has kind of the, I'm cool, I'm a hippie, I just like coffee shops or Wall Street. Who knows where I'll be next?
Yeah, and Brianna is the one who is like very, and Brianna is the Whole Foods side of Rocky. So there you go. Rocky has now been spread across three different women.
But Brianna also looks like the first bitch from Top Chef, Tiffany.
She does.
And she has the same kind of like uppity, you know, silent vibe to her, where I have a feeling she's gonna become a huge bitch. And you know what? Yeah, I'm here for you. So. I'm here for you, lady.
I'm also getting like a touch of Rachel Dolezal from her. Just a touch.
Well, she's got really tight curls. I'm not sure if that's a perm or if that's like curl. I can't tell yet.
Yeah, we'll circle back to that over the course of the season. We'll check in on the state of her curls.
We also get Bruno. My dream since kid is getting out to Portugal and on yacht.
And he's got a 16-pack, and he says size gorgeous. Doesn't matter.
He is gorgeous, by the way. Bruno is, like, so gorgeous.
Yes, and equally as dumb, which...
That just makes it perfect.
Yeah, it does. It makes me feel better when dumb people, you know, when gorgeous people are dumb.
I'm like, just be shirtless and walking around in circles all season, and I'll be happy, Bruno. I'll be happy.
Please do not smarten up. He's like, I know three languages. I'm like, you know how to say that'll cost you $20 in three different languages. Let's not sit here and pretend you're speaking DOS. Okay, Bruno?
DOS. So then we meet Chris, who I automatically really dislike. He's another deckhand, and he's like, yeah, I did yachting once before, but, you know, someone stole my clothes and the police got involved, so I just quit. What sort of backstory is that?
Yeah, it's my second stab at yachting.
You could just tell he's like a huge douche.
Yeah, he is a huge douche, but he's like a born-again Christian who just escaped recently. So now he's just trying to fuck everything he can and you know, live the life. And, you know, I'm here for that as well. I remember those times. I wish I was that hot when I was like, I'm going to fuck the world.
I feel like he's the sort of guy, if he weren't on Bravo, if we met him and he'd be like, so you guys do like a Bravo podcast? So like, well, you guys cover Kardashians and all that shit. Yeah, you like that stuff? Yeah. Yeah, are you like obsessed? I'm like, no, yeah. It's
why do then, we like, get that so much? Why do everyone literally say that all the time? That is something we get all the time. What is
I know.
That?
I just really don't like the Kardashian show. It's not about the Kardashians themselves. It's just I don't like the show. I don't like the way it's made and the stories they tell.
Well, I get real people in life don't all know what Bravo is. You know, it's like we all have our things that we love, and if they don't watch Bravo, I don't care. I get it. But that they really think that Bravo is Kardashians and fucking My 600-Pound Life. It's almost like they think of cable as this one big entity. Like, we're not covering Suits, okay?
Yeah.
We have some lines in life.
I mean, we are – I mean, they all the things you mentioned, I think, are under the Comcast umbrella. But still, it's like constantly – everyone always asks us if we're doing the Kardashians. No.
No, we're not.
So then we get the opening credits, and I'm pointing this out only because, you know, in the opening credits they show all the cast members, and when they show Kate, our dear Kate, she's just sort of sitting there with this very serious face, and then she gives a smile like, like, fine, I'll give you a little smile. She's like, and then she lets it go. It's like for a flash, and then she's back down to like straight face.
They're like, it's Kate, LOLing. Yeah, I love that every time they show Kate's in the beginning, she's just like, not
she's
sure
like
about this.
She's already glowering at the inefficiency of the camera crew.
Well, you know it's going to be good because the very first line of the, like, coming on Below Deck, and we already went through all that, but I just saw the first line is Captain Lee going, I've never seen a bunch of blipping idiots in my life like this. God damn it. He's, like, screaming and losing it. It's like, this is it.
Yeah.
So the sorry, babe.
No, I was just going to point out that I feel like for the season premiere, he got his little stringy bangs extra combed forward for the episode, which I really appreciated.
Well, Captain Lee always comes like it's the first day of school and he's five, because his wife is always like, okay, time to go to Fantastic Sam's before the new season starts. He's like, all right, God, thanks for taking care of me the way you do. And he goes down there. She shows him a picture out of the kids magazine. Like this time he's in that spiky hair. He's like, it's spiky. That's right. Because I'm not taking no bull this time. I'll tell you that much.
You
go with your
spike. You mess with the bull, you get the spikes. It's like, I want my bangs straightforward and stringy.
Seeing Captain Lee, wow.
Bangs down, spikes up. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's actually has sort of like the yacht captain version of a Kate Gosselin at this point. I like it.
So after the credits, Kate, obviously, first one, she's back on the boat. She's like, yachting is like hooking up with an ex. I'm okay at first, but before long, I want to strangle it all over again.
Yeah. She's like, she's saying how she enjoys life now that she's just not yachting all the time. So it's sort of, she's able to enjoy the yacht experience now. And then we have Captain Lee, who is already grumbling about what's going to be like his worst crew of all time. He's like, in the last 5 years, we got all these Hollywood types and Wall Street pricks building these ginormous yachts, sucking up all the goddamn crew, and now we gotta recruit people from Sizzler and Red Lobster, and no, it does not count as yacht experience because you fished a toy out of the fish tank.
Hollywood jackass, thumb up your butt type.
And you know that he says this shit in traffic, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he's in his like big golden Cadillac driving along the Florida streets, and he's like, God damn it, you Hollywood jackass, thumb up your butt type.
All these Hollywood types are buying extra cars in Florida and driving around because they got all this free time instead of working. These motherfucking goddamn pricks.
You know he's pissed whenever he sees orange juice in a store. These goddamn Hollywood jackass, thumb up their... Oranges used to be from Florida, not anymore.
Tropicana, more like Tropicantia. Goddamn Hollywood types drink all our Tropicana.
So Kate meets the chef, and she's like, so you are... And he's like, I'm the chef. I'm the chef.
I'm Matt.
I'm Matt. I'm the chef. I've worked for many famous chefs, okay? And, you know, I can get any chef job possible, but this is more intimate. I'm originally from Canada, and she's like, wow, tall, handsome Canada. And Canada's G-rated, so if he gets mad, he'll be like, I'm going to hug you less hard. Which is so true about Canada.
Yeah.
And something I hope that they never change.
Yes. And so then Kate and Matt are joking about, like, he's saying he's like, I think at this point he's saying he's steak and potatoes or whatever. Or they're just talking about, you know, what she eats or what the crew's going to eat and, you know, and like how annoying it would be if a crew member would be gluten-free. It'd be annoying for him to cook dinner for the crew. And Kate goes, well, if there's a yoga mat, you're probably screwed. And then they cut to Brianna walking onto the yacht with a yoga mat.
And she goes, and you are... So you're Brianna. She's like,
are you my Postmates? No? Okay. Are you Grubhub? Oh, you're Stu. Oh.
Your stewardess. Awesome. And the chef's like, yeah, I want to fuck her. Sorry, it's going to take me a while to get everybody's voices, so I'm just going to use the old voices until then.
You know what?
For now, he's old Adam.
Yeah, later, skater.
Which could not be farther from the truth. But you know what I'm actually getting from Brianna? I'm getting some Joan Osborne. I'm just realizing. She's a little Joan Osborne-y.
Still getting... Now that I said Tiffany from Top Chef, I'm only seeing Tiffany. And now it's making me mad. Yeah, no, I'm like getting mad at her now.
But no, but she's not a redhead. And Tiffany has sort of a square jaw. And Brianna has more of like a round face with like a pointy chin.
I would look it up, but that would require a lot of finger sliding. So... I'm gonna
look up Joan Osborne now because I feel like Joan Osborne is really that's the comp that we're looking for.
Okay, I'll intro Brianna while you're doing that. So Brianna's like, you know, I've never been the type to plan my 10-year goal. Well, that's because it's not a 10-year goal, Brianna. It's a 5-year goal. 10 years is too long, and it gives you too much excuse to fuck off for the first 8 until you get your shit together, okay?
Her 10-year goal is to plan her 10-year goal.
Pretty much. She's like, I trust the universe to guide me. And I'm like, here you are as a maid with a yoga mat.
Well done.
She's like, I backpacked through Central America by myself. That's called danger.
Yeah.
And you should always have a guide. Okay.
And she's like, I lived off the grid in Kauai for 3 months or whatever. I'm like, I hate you.
I'm like, does anybody live on the grid in Kauai? It sounds far.
Exactly. There's like barely a grid. It's just sort of like a wobbly line at best. I've been to Kauai, okay?
So Kate starts taking her through the boat. Go ahead.
As you say, one other thing was that Brianna said that she doesn't love the maid aspect of yachting, which makes me think that she's going to spend most of the season crying into an iron.
Yeah, well, trust me, there are plenty of maids who don't do toilets. I'm like, really, bitch? Yeah. Or like when a maid's like, I don't do windows. Really?
Yeah,
you understand that I can yelp a maid as well, don't you?
Yeah. So, anyway, so yeah.
Are we kidding? Kate... Like, I have a maid. I tell this shit to Bueller, and he's like, I literally cannot do windows. Like, my paws don't work like that. I'm like, I'm yelping you! Your Yelp review world is over.
Bueller.
So Brianna's like, Kate is like, oh, well, you look horrified, so let me take you through the boat. Here's your friend the toilet. Here's your friend the other toilet. Here's your friend behind the toilet. Here's the sheets, the iron. And she's like, I don't like maid things. And she goes, but if I can be the 1% on a yacht. Like, you're not the 1%, okay? The maid at a castle is not the queen.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
But I like your positive attitude, even though it's going to lead you to destruction and despair in the future. Enjoy your 20s.
Exactly. So then Dreamy Bruno comes on next, and he's like, oh, my dream is always to make it on yacht. I've been on cruise ship, I've been on canoe, and now yacht. And then he still doesn't know what starboard is, because they're like, can you go to the forward cabin and the starboard side?
He's starboard. Starboard is the word.
Starboard. What was I saying?
Starboard? I know, because I used to work starboard. On a dinner cruise in New York City, okay? The Spirit Cruise Lines, where I sang songs and then we crashed the boat into the dock. So thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Been there.
I went to a prom on that boat. But see, here's the thing. I don't work on yachts, so I can say starboard because I don't know what I'm talking about. Starboard sounds exciting.
Yeah, I feel like Bruno probably thinks it's called starboard, and that's how he's labeled it in his head, and it's always going to be, because she's like, okay there, Bruno. Bruno's your name? Really? Okay, Bruno. Starboard 4. And he's like, okay, starboard. No, it's starboard.
Oh, it's really spelled starboard? I always thought it was spelled starboard.
You know what? Now that I'm staring at this goddamn word, Ben, I don't know, because you know I act like I know everything, but then I think
you're right.
I'm
it is pronounced
wrong.
Starboard.
I'm looking it up right now,
not,
because
it's not starboard like a starboard.
Yeah,
it's
but
like
girl,
starboard.
These,
it's like somewhere in between.
These people, but yeah, now when I look it up, it says starboard chicken. And
no, it's spelled starboard. That's why I said starboard, because I'm reading notes, so I'm like very literal. I am like
it's spelled.
I'm like
starboard.
Starboard. That's how you say it. Starboard.
Starboard.
Oh my god, Kate is going to kill us.
But it's spelled starboard.
Spelled starboard.
Oh my god, you see, that's how I am in real life.
It was the first draft of the weekend song. I'm a motherfucking starboard. Bop, 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 bop.
This is how I am in life, too. I'm like, that's not how you say it. Nah, I'm right. And then it's like, you Google it and I'm wrong. Sorry.
Well, we both were wrong, because I said it wrong and you spelled it wrong.
And for those of you waiting, we'll apologize for co-sleeping on the next Real Housewives of Orange County recap. Okay, we'll just dole out these apologies slowly but surely.
What, the co-sleeping apology? Oh, yes. because apparently it's when a child sleeps in a bassinet, right?
Yeah, we'll hold it. Yeah, we'll hold it. But moms are like, these guys are idiots, but we still like them. Yeah, we don't know. We still don't know how a vagina works, people.
Wait, no. I just want to say, we weren't making fun of the act of co-sleeping. We're just making fun of the term co-sleeping, because it's just stupid. You could just say, yeah, my baby's sleeping in a bassinet next to me. That's all.
Well, like Bruno, I wander around just going starboard, 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 yeah, starboard, starboard, starboard. He's just wandering around there. He's like, I speak three languages, but this word is not in any, you know? So then we see the captain looking out at the resume of Jen Howell, who's one of the other new stews, and he's like, oh, God, I like big boats and I cannot lie.
Why would she have to lie about that? Like, no, it's a song.
Oh, I was drinking. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Those goddamn Hollywood types.
I drank mid-giggle. So Jen comes on and she's like, as long as I can remember, I've had a strange obsession with boats. One time I dated a guy because of his boat. It's like an orgasm. That's how real it is.
One time I had a screensaver and it had a boat on it. That's literally what, like, the evidence that her obsession of boats is. She has a screensaver with a boat on it.
A boat is like an orgasm. Speaking of, she's like, One time, I was working on a catamaran, and I found out I was pregnant because the boat was an orgasm. And then a baby! Childbirth. Co-sleeping is a boat. I'm like, oh, jeez.
I have never masturbated as much as when I watched Titanic.
And Kate's yeah, like, so you have a baby. Is it hard to leave for 6 weeks?
Because we can send you back earlier if you want.
She's like, yeah, but yay, babies are hard. So Bruno's like, of course, in like the captain's room taking a bubble bath or something. Kate's like, Bruno, could you move forward to the other cabin? Okay.
They went on the starboard side, not the captain's palace, please. Thank you, Bruno. So then Nico comes
this
on board.
This is the only one with loofah.
So then Nico comes on board, and he's going to be lead deckhand. So there's like no bosun, it seems like. But there's a lead deckhand, which is Nico. And he just comes on. And he's like, I'm Nico. And then next comes Chris, but he keeps on introducing himself as, hey, I'm Chris Brown. I'm Chris Brown. And everyone's God. Like, whoa, Chris Brown. Because, you know, Chris Brown. And you know that's probably like his thing. He likes to introduce himself as Chris Brown. So people say like, oh, that's funny because you're not Chris Brown.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny because like he's kind of abusive, right? Or whatever the thing is, you know? Like why would you associate that closely?
Yeah. It's like, he's like, you know, because I'm like massively unlikable too, right?
Yeah. He's like, my name's Ronnie, but you can call me OJ. Okay.
Hi, I'm Ben, but you can call me Amy Fisher.
Exactly. My name is Ronnie, but you can call me Mrs. Bobbitt. Like, wait a minute.
This is Ronnie and Ben, but you can call us Lyle and Eric.
So the captain is holding the bosun title because, you know, he wants people to earn it. So he's like, well, we're going to run without a bosun. But Nico did a good job last season. I'll have to rely on him. But he's not ready yet. All right. We'll see if he's going to be ready by the time this goddamn stinking non-Hollywood sucking goddamn thumb up your butt boat's ready to dock. Well, I'll be the judge of that. Spiky hair! I got spiky hair, Nico. You recognize me?
Yeah, that's right. I look like the top of a tomato. What you got a problem with that?
Hey, I'm Chris Brown. Hey, I'm Chris Brown. Hey, I'm Chris Brown. And she's like, hello, I'm Kate Chastain. And he's like, ah! Like, that name will always be scarier, okay? You want to strike like, some fear into the hearts.
So Nico says hi to the girls. And Brianna and Nico know each other because they met in Barcelona. And he apparently got drunk and, like, super flirty with her. So she's, you know, like, you know. Because yeah, she doesn't really have
like,
any personality,
well,
by the way.
We made out a little. Like, we got flirtatious and drunk, but he was weird. Yeah. You're calling him weird as you unpack your yellow from sweat pillow that you're using on top of your bunk. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's stop trying to make Nico the gross one, ma'am.
I know. Like get a new pillow for the yacht. I mean, I don't hold it against you that you have a yellow pillow. Cause it happens to all of us. At least it happens to me. I'm sort of looking at mine right now, but I have the good graces to change it out once in a while. So that way it's fresh.
Yeah. It happens to all of us, but I recognize the pillow pattern from Ross because that's where I get my pillows. You're paying $10. You can get a new pillow every once
just
in
get a
while.
New pillow. You're on a yacht. Okay. Yeah. You're on a yacht. You're not in a hostel.
And then
you're making us hostile.
Then you've got Matt in the kitchen, and he's like, oh, God, we got cockroaches. And Kate's like, kill it. No, I can't do that. It's a baby. She's like, oh, geez.
She's like, he's so Canadian.
Canadian. So Canadian.
So, let's see. I said Chris Brown and Bruno, both new. Yes. I don't know why I felt the need to write that down.
You're like, they're new.
Like, how could you tell? Because, like, Bruno's like, flossing his teeth with like the anchor, you know, like
he's like, is this for no Bruno? So Kate calls the stews together and she's like, okay, let's look at these resumes. How is your service? And they're like, nope. Okay. So you studied culinary arts, Brianna? And Brianna's like, yeah, for like 5 minutes. And then I was like, this isn't art. It's like, I know how to make a sandwich. She's like, okay.
To be fair, that was bartending that she gave up on. And culinary arts, she just merely studied in high school.
Oh, okay. Because that's in every high school, culinary arts.
She's like, she studied culinary arts in high school. And then she went to bartending school, but she never really followed up in getting a job in bartending.
Not only that, she goes, so bartending? And she goes, oh, that really needs to be updated, that resume. You just used it to get on a national TV show.
This clearly this was like some like eighth grade class where you had to make your own resume for the first time.
Yeah, it's like the first time I went to an audition after a long time, and under special skills, I had rollerblading. I was like, God, it's really. They were like, so you rollerblade? And I was like, almost 40. I was like, who are we kidding? I'm sweating because I walked from the folding chairs to this room right here, like 5 feet away. So she goes, do you guys know how to make coffees, lattes? And she goes, I can work a Keurig.
So then we go over, we hear more about Chris and his crazy Christian situation. And basically, he was celibate for 26 years, and now he has decided that he wants to not live that lifestyle, so he likes to drink and have sex. But what's annoying, which is fine, but what's annoying is that he's now this guy that's like, I love to drink. Yeah, guys, let's drink. You guys like to drink? You like to drink? I like to drink too, which is what we did in, like, that's what you do in high school. Like, when you're 18 and after you've gotten drunk for the first time, you're like, guys, let's go somewhere and drink. Who wants to go drink? Let's drink. You know, do you like to drink? I like to drink, too. Oh, my God. We both love to drink.
Who's up for some sex before marriage, brah? Yeah, rebels. Rebels.
He's like, four things Chris Brown loves the most. Women, alcohol, snowboarding, and travel, and yachting covers three, so let's give this a go.
Bruno's like, do you know how to tie any knots? And he goes, well, I pulled up some YouTube vids, and I tied my headphones into a knot, and then I went back to masturbating, because I'm not Christian anymore, and then I had some alcohol. Yeah.
Bruno's like, I pulled up YouTube video too, but like, I'm still waiting for Joan Van Ark to show me how to make knots.
Joan Van Ark. I love that Bruno would have like an obsession with Joan Van Ark.
Well, she was on Knot Landing, right?
Yes. Okay. But he's really developed like an obsession now with Joan Van Ark. It's like, she taught me so much how to not take crap from other ladies on the street.
But she not teach me knots yet.
I do not. I haven't learned how to land yet either. Thank God this isn't a plane.
But tomorrow I'm learning about falconing.
And my toothpaste is Chris. Does it count? Does it count?
We take yacht to Dallas, yeah?
So Rocky, when I couldn't remember Baker's name, I just wrote Rocky. But Baker is like, I'm Southern. Classy. I'm not, you know, Southern people have all these classy ladies, but I'm different from them. I like to say I'm, instead of a debutante, I'm a debunot.
Bruno's like, knots? Knots? Knots?
I'm like, those don't really rhyme properly, but okay. She's like, I take my RV to Burning Man.
I was like, ugh, of course please, you don't do. Come back.
Of course you do.
I know.
Yeah, leave it
don't
there.
Don't brag about that. Don't yeah, brag about
leave
that.
Leave it there with your low water pressure.
And then you probably go to, what's it called, Coachella, and put on like an Indian feather.
But I call it No-chella.
Which would rhyme, so it probably wouldn't work with her whole scheme of things.
I call it Coachacaca.
I call it Coacha, not classier like a Southern lady, okay?
And then I got a stagecoach, which I call it Stage Whale.
So she's Kate's asking Brianna about her relationships or whatever, and she's like, or this girl, probably Baker, and she's like, I'm single, RV, traveling. And Kate's like, well, my last relationship was brief. It was not that cool, okay? I realized if I'm attracted to someone, it's probably bad news.
Then we, so I think then we have a crew meeting, right?
Yes.
And this is very important because the crew meeting on the first episode of the season is the only time we get to meet the real people who work on the yacht, a.k.a. in this case, Gareth and Darian, who are the first officer and the engineer. I just always feel like they need to have a moment like that. I think it was last year. It was like Larry and Barry. But this year it's Gareth and Darian who sound like they're in
similar
British
names.
Gay comedy.
Yeah, but these guys do both have two R's in their names, so I guess that's close. But still,
Gareth and Darian.
I like Barry and Larry.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, here's the rule. Here's the number one rule on any ship of mine. You work hard. All right. It's a green crew, but once you're shown something and you screw up, it's not a good thing.
Do you see the fear in Gareth and Darian's eyes? That's because it's the fear of messing up because they work so goddamn hard. They're not like Hollywood types like you guys, okay?
They have a lot of R's in their name because if you fuck up around here, you're going to run. Right, Gareth and Darian?
And the first person who calls Gareth Garrett, I'm going to send you a one-way ticket home. And you'll never, ever leave off that age again, huh?
Yeah, you mess up here, you win a plane ticket. Bruno's like, yay, plane! He's like, no, it's not a good kind, kid. All right? It's not a lottery.
Bruno's like,
he's like my grandpa. He even has this jewelry that says tough.
Okay, Bruno.
Yeah. So then Kate is... then we have like a little montage of Kate with chefs of her past, because I think she's talking about how nice it seems to be that Matt seems to be a normal chef. She's like, I'm always stuck with a crazy chef. And they show like Kate versus Leon, Kate versus Ben. I think it was just the two of them, but it was great.
And they also show her saying, so do you drink a lot like most chefs? And he's like, oh no, just trying to slow down. There are bad signs about this chef all over the place.
I think the worst sign is that he was unwilling to kill a cockroach. That's the worst sign.
I think the worst sign is saying, I'm sobering up on the job. Like, nobody wants to be around somebody while they're sobering up, okay? I'll be around a sober person, that's fine. But not while you're trying. We all know what it's like.
Yeah, so we can see that the stress level is rising in Kate because she's now put on her light cardigan. She's like, all right, time to put on the light cardigan because I'm about to become... She gets colder as she gets stressed. Most people start to sweat. She just starts to get colder and colder. So now she has the light cardigan on.
And so now we start going in these really quick scenes where I write down everything, but I don't need to. But I have to say, Jen's lines, every time I write something with Jen down, she goes... Being a mom, I don't get a mom break, but my mom retired so I could live my dream. I'm like, God damn, your mom finally got you out of the house and you had a baby that you made her take care of. That is so uncool. And also,
it was her dad who retired, but yeah.
Also, she doesn't know how to put a pillow on a bed. She's like, I don't know where this goes.
She's like trying to stand it up on its end. Won't stand up. But then, for some reason, you know, Kate is showing Jen how to make a diamond head on the toilet paper, and I rewound that like three times because, like, I want to learn how to do that. I swear, Kate, you should come out with like a how to clean your room book. No, Kate has a book, but Kate needs like a here's how to keep your apartment looking like a first stew came through. You can call it the first stew came through. Listen, it's on us. You can take all the royalties.
First stew came through. I like that. So more warning signs about the chef. She's like, so I like that chef. Kate just keeps coming up with questions to ask the chef to try and catch him in something. Because she keeps coming back in. She's like, so meal plans. And he's like, well, I'm planning breakfast because I planned that the night before. And she's like, well, Matt is enthusiastic and organized and nice. Too good to be true? Yes.
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 Yes, absolutely. And it's going to be a disaster.
I love that you have the instinct to know that. No one that together is ever together. Someone has to be slightly messy to be together. I think
even Leon on his first episode seemed like he had his shit together. I think everyone was excited about Leon, you know, just as a switch up from Ben. So who knows?
Yeah. So the toilet paper triangle, she's like, so you know the triangle? And they're like, wow, a triangle folding. And Jen goes, I feel like I've seen this before.
Jen has a very specific dead zone talent. She recognizes origami folds on toilet paper.
It's like literally a triangle.
Wait a second. I'm looking at this triangle and I'm remembering something. You're going to have to do this again tomorrow. Be warned.
She's the kind of psychic who just realizes what's going on right in front of her right now. She's like, I feel like I've seen it before. You're seeing it now. Exactly.
Oh, my God. This swan. It's like it's made of a napkin.
Yeah, I'm making a swan napkin.
Oh, my God.
So the captain's like, Nico, Kate, get the hell up those goddamn Hollywood stairs. Right? Today's guests are from a trampoline park, which we know are the classiest types ever. Bolinos.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's saying, these are meat and potatoes kind of guys. And the chef goes, well, I'm a meat and potatoes kind of chef. So let's do this. And I was like, uh-oh. Everything Kate's is just pointing to danger.
Kate's just like, if I could cross my arms any tighter, I would.
I've known meat and potatoes guys, and they're never good.
She's fully in a straitjacket pose now. Her arms are so crossed.
And usually meat and potatoes guys are the kind who ruin a steak. They're like, just put it in the microwave.
Exactly. You know what a meat and potatoes guy is? It's Bree Drummond's husband on Pioneer Woman. You know,
the kind of guy
who thinks like making wings with a slightly Asian touch is crazy.
He's like, we're going to put some salsa in there. Wow.
Like the sort of guy where she has to sneak off with her lady friends just to have a gochu salad. She's like, well, I'm making him a steak with potatoes, but I'm going to do something wild. I'm having a gochu salad with my girlfriends, which is a thing that happened on that episode.
That's, you know, tip. Boys, they just like their meat and potatoes. Like those are usually the kind of guys you don't want cooking for you, basically.
Yeah.
So the captain's like, guess what? The guests don't give a crap about whether or not your crew's green. Okay. Now you can't show the crew your nerves, but right now the pucker effect is so strong you couldn't drive a straight pin up my ass with a 10-pound sledgehammer.
Which was the image we were all waiting for, to be honest.
I mean, how can you not have it? If you didn't have it last night, just think about that for a minute. Let's all get on the Breeze yoga mat and think about what that really means for a minute.
But the best part is that he's saying this when he literally has old man Ralph Wiggum hair.
Just picking his nose.
God damn it.
So Nico's teaching ropes. Which is that set. It's just like he's like, okay, this is how you pull up a rope. And Bruno's like, bubbles? No, ropes.
Yeah. No one knows. I mean, I'm worried more for Nico because Kate, like, even Cinderella learned how to clean a toilet. You know what I mean? But, like, this stuff is important. Tying the knots and stuff like that. He's like,
yeah.
Okay, if I say make it off, that means one loop around, then you make a figure eight. He's like, the Spanish eight or the English eight? Just an eight. Okay. Like, we're not writing down Yiddish. Okay. And Chris goes, my last job was polishing a hole for 8 hours. But there's more to being a deckhand than polishing. And I don't want to be responsible for a harm to a human. Like, leave it to an escaped born again to get a job polishing holes.
Yeah.
That's our first step out. It's like, where were you?
Yeah. So now it's like dinner time. And the girls propose the idea of mixed dorms because they need more closet space. And the men don't use up a lot of closet space. So this is going to obviously lead to disaster, having co-ed yacht rooms. But that's basically all that happens there. And yeah, now it's the next.
They want more time in the bathroom. And the first thing Chris does is he's like, I don't wear underwear, so I have to change in the bathroom. Like, oh, God.
My underwear was stolen. The police got involved. I had to quit yachting for a little bit. Never found those Fruit of the Looms again.
So then next day, everyone starts getting to work, cleaning. Now the chef is cutting onions, and it looks very slow and amateurish to me. I'm like, I'm not picking on this chef on purpose. I'm just trying to figure out what's wrong with him. And so far, it seems like everything.
His knife skills, yeah.
I can cut an onion better, and I learned it from Anne Burrell on the TV, dude. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell, again, Kate's stress level has risen to a new tier because she has actually abandoned the light cardigan for a mock neck sweater instead. A full sweater.
Oh, girl. Don't make Kate pull out the mock.
Yeah, the mock neck. It's dangerous.
It's too soon for me to mock, but that doesn't mean my almost turtleneck can't.
Okay. Yeah. So the guests start to arrive. Oh, this is, by the way, importantly, before the guests arrive, Nico teaches Bruno how to latch cushions onto the boat to make sure they don't fly away. Which is important. It's an important detail to remember.
Yes. They're like, what? No one told me. Yes, they did, sir. So it's like, all right, everybody up to the main deck. We're going to greet the adrenaline junkies.
Yeah. So these people come onto the boat and the whole crew introduces themselves. And the guy, the primary, he's like, oh, like Matt, why isn't Matt wearing pants? Why is he wearing shorts? I'm like, you run a trampoline park, sir. Just relax.
Exactly.
Okay?
Mr. You're chef, a, no chef. Pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, trampoline jerk. Let him wear shorts. You're in the Caribbean.
Congratulations, adrenaline junkie who owns a trampoline park.
It's like, yeah, the adrenaline, jumping on a trampoline indoors.
Yeah, congrats on all that adrenaline on a yacht.
Yeah, and that's the next extreme sport.
Yeah, yachting extreme.
Trampolining indoors. So they get the tour, and Kate's like, yes, decent, isn't it? And he's like, Dave, I'm going to be shitting on the fancy toilet, if that's okay. My favorite part in all of this is Jen trying to understand what the washing machine is. She's like, what is this? Oh. She's like swinging the doors around.
How many times do you think Jen has accidentally flushed that fancy toilet? Because it doesn't have a normal flusher thing. It has like a light, and you're supposed to step on the light, and that causes it to like it projects a beam of light, and you basically interrupt the beam of light so it flushes. And you know Jen's like a cat; she's just trying to capture that light like nonstop, just putting her paws on it over and over again.
Every time I go to the bathroom there, I leave a poop on my hands. It's like you're not gonna catch it, cat.
So now it's like, okay, it's the first official dock drama of the season. So it's like, okay, time to leave the dock. Time to leave the dock. Get the fenders. Leaving the dock. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And then they just, like, leave the dock.
I like that one part, the guy's like, yeah, if you're jumping. Or they said, you want to jump off the boat or something? And the husband's like, yeah, the higher the better. And the wife goes, yeah, the higher, the more dangerous, the better. He has that tattooed on his back. And I'm like, leave it up to a guy from a trampoline park to have that long of a fucking tattoo.
No, the higher, the more dangerous, the better.
Yeah. He's like, make it a really long sentence so people will know I'm dangerous.
A really long sentence that isn't profound in any way.
This is snacks out on the deck. This is the next bad sign. Chips and jarred salsa. Oh no.
Yes. I noticed that. I was like, what sort of like lame ass chip and dip is going out to the first primary guest? I mean, I know that they have a trampoline park and this is probably a step up from them, but like chips and salsa.
That was straight up paste picante sauce type salsa too.
It was, and it wasn't even arriba, it was paste. There should have been like salsa and guacamole and like maybe even like a fancy homemade queso. I don't know, I'm just speaking out loud.
Yeah, and those chips had the texture of like Tostitos, you know?
Yeah,
like they weren't even good ones. Or like the $2 Santa Maria chips or whatever.
Yeah, I don't even think they had a brand. I think they were generic.
Come on, Canada.
They stole them out. I think that he like went and sold them out of the production office. I think he went in and took like something from like whatever they have in the production pantry.
Yeah, he's like, also I've got two pieces of Orbitz left.
The gum.
Yeah.
So then Chris and Bruno, now that they've disembarked, they have the fender and they're walking around with it. It was like it looked like. Like two guys in a horse costume, but without the costume on, because they were walking around with this thing. They're like, here we come. Okay. Excuse me, Captain Lee. You mind if we squeeze by you? And he's like, they're steering the ship. And he's like, not right now, you Hollywood types.
I know in Hollywood, big old trucks will move out of your way, but not this time.
They're like, what do we do? And Chris Brown is like, hit it. I'm like, oh, geez. Leave it up to Chris. Leave it up to Chris Brown.
Chris,
you know?
Brown to say hit it. So as they start to zip off out of port, of course, the couch cushions that Bruno is supposed to secure, they just go flying right off the yacht.
And the captain goes, Jesus Christ, idiots. Hey, the cushions are over the side. Could you snack those cushions?
So while they're trying to go rescue the cushions, upstairs, Brianna is making a tablescape, and she was using starfish, which I thought was a nice little gesture to Amy.
Starfish, come back.
Yeah, she was doing a tablescape that was very, like, Thanksgiving-y. And Nico's like, okay, remember I told you clipping on? Here's how to clip on cushions. And he's like, Where'd they go? And he's like looking over the side because they didn't hear all this going on because I don't think they had their radios on downstairs while he and Chris Brown
probably doing
eating like cavemen. They're sitting there eating their salad with their fingers with their mouths open and lettuce is flying out of their mouth. You know what? Casting, great work.
Yeah.
So, I mean that with all my heart.
And then, I don't know. There's something about, like, the whole – you just could tell that Nico and Kate were just like, oh, my God, these idiots. Because Kate's now bossing around Jen, and she's like, yeah, could you get the ironing board from Captain Lee's cabin? It's the good one. And Jen's like, okay. And she, like, gets this fancy ironing board and promptly just, like, drops it on the floor. Not Captain Lee's good ironing board.
And she's like, where's the captain's cabin?
You could tell this is a bad crew when we get to see Darian for the second time in a season. Because yeah. Darian's like, oh, it's up that way.
It's like, you shouldn't be back here.
I'm not supposed to be on TV right now. I had my moment.
I'm getting paid for this, right? So down at lunch, the chef is making Caesar salad, and he's like, I love Caesar because I make the dressing. Wow. That's crazy. Wow.
You know how to whisk a few ingredients.
He's like, if they don't want fancy, why give it to them? You know, just some homemade Caesar. And then sure enough, upstairs, they're like, Mountain Dew and white wine. Delicious.
Yeah, I was just about to make fun of Matt for making a Caesar salad. That not only was it a Caesar salad, but it looked very old-fashioned.
It looked very
like
thick.
70s, right? So it was like cherry tomatoes and all this stuff on it. It looked like something from an old cookbook. And I was like, oh, here we go. And then he serves them, and they're like, this is fabulous. I was like, okay, well. I mean, I'm not going to discredit that because, you know, a homemade Caesar salad is really delicious. I'm not going to say that. But
it's just, you know, it's the first episode. It's been chips and salsa. And now you're like, homemade Caesar salad.
Caesar salad.
Salad.
He has that, like, that Canadian accent. So he's like, I'm going to make them a Caesar salad.
Very sweetly.
The best damn Caesar salad they ever had.
So it's the first service, and Kate's like, okay, Jen, we're going to serve the ladies, and then we're going to serve the men. And she's like, okay. So Jen walks straight to a man. She's like, if she doesn't get ladies first, we might be in trouble.
Jen's like, here's your Caesar salad. And Kate's like, that was a seagull you just served that to.
Who am I to judge? If someone identifies as a seagull, that's up to them.
Jen, you just served that to a buoy. I'm sorry.
I loved your work in Dark Crystal.
So
this recap is going to be 3 hours long, by the way. Should we have warned you guys of that at the beginning?
But then, meanwhile, I mean, the deckhands are no better because now they're trying to lower the tender. I think it was the tender. They're trying to lower it into the water. And basically, Nico's like, he's like, okay, all you have to do is don't stand under it, and we'll just use these ropes to guide it over the side. So first, they're all under it, you know? And then like, no, like, use the ropes. And Bruno's like, I try not to be under. And then they're like, the thing is, like, swirling around. And, like, Nico's like, can you please, Captain Lee, help me? These idiots don't understand the simple act of making sure we're pulling the ropes with the same pressure.
Yeah. And the captain, I think, likes being asked.
It bangs in the side of the yacht, by the way.
He's like, well, you know, Bruno, if you and I keep the same amount of tension, it keeps the tension. He's like, oh, tension. That's bad, right? Later, later, Bruno. And he's like, look, the first time I worked on the yacht was back in the 80s. You know, people were leg warmers and sweatbands. I was so green Kermit looked tanorexic. I could show a new crew how to do it once.
So after they manage to bang the tender into the side of the yacht and Captain Lee comes to save and they get it down in the water, then it's like time for water sports with the guests. So Bruno is like, he's like helping a guy get into a helmet, and he's like, look, I don't know how to make tie knots and stuff, but I can put on helmet. I can make people happy. I can connect with them. I'm like, well, if his helmet comes off while he is jet skiing and he dies, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. He's like, don't make it uncomfortable. If it's uncomfortable like this, loosen it. I'm like, you're going to kill him, Bruno.
By the way, so I have this really amazing TV. It's a Samsung and it's HD. It is gorgeous. This is not an ad, by the way. but it's so crystal clear. Everything's crystal clear on it. You can see everything. Bruno has flawless skin. I like paused it at one point and I was like, there is not a single flaw on his skin. Who is this man?
Yeah, he's perfect in every way. Just don't ask him to do things because we're all going to die.
I know. Okay? But like, I don't like being, I don't like feeling body shame when I watch Below Deck. And like, I was just like, he's perfect.
I oddly enough only physically. Feel body shame when I see people who were like skinny fat and still don't work out, because like Bruno is that kind of goal. It's like having a goal. I want to be Barbie. Like, I'm not a girl. I'm not blonde. I'm not thin. I'm not young. Like, it's just like a goal I'm never going to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bruno is a goal I'm never going to have. Even if I work out that much, there's no way any abs are going to show through the skin sleeping bag I wear every day from being chubby my whole life. Like, I don't feel shame. I just feel like, aw, you could have been reading.
So then we see Jen doing laundry, which is fine. And then Kate, this is important. We get to see Kate laying down her very first crystal pebble tablescape of the season, which I appreciated.
She did it nice and slow for you too.
Yeah, I feel like – I actually feel like that I think that was deliberate. She was like
– yeah, she's like out of the bag and
it's like nice. So at this point, now Bruno starts to become hilarious. He starts to become a child. He's like, I'm so hungry. I can't feel my legs. Oh, I'm exhausted.
Oh, you know, all of this moving, like there's so much information. Did you know cushions can be attached to both? Crazy. Oh, my God. How am I going to live like this? Like, he's just so tired. He keeps putting his hands on his face and just shaking his head back and forth like, oh, no.
You know, Captain Sandy was watching at home, shaking her TV, like, let the boy nap. Let him nap.
Yeah, that's why I insist on it. Guess what? Nobody loves that banana.
I love that banana.
So Jen takes a drink order.
It's like chapter 9. Jen takes it. It's yeah.
And it's like, what are you even watching this? Because the guests are such douchebags too. One of the guests goes, so is your bucket list shrinking or growing? And he's like, growing. I'd definitely like to do Kilimanjaro next. Like, okay. Okay, from the trampoline park to Kilimanjaro. You go, boy.
You know you can't bounce off a trampoline to the top of Kilimanjaro, right? So so a guest, she asks for a gin martini with olives, which is a pretty basic request. Especially as Below Deck requests go, that's basic. I mean, everyone should be happy it was not an espresso martini. So Jen's like, got it. You want a Diet Pepsi? No. Gin martini with olives. Got it. Bloody Mary made with absinthe. No. Gin martini with olives. Okay.
Gin. So. That's me.
Now she wants a cotton gin, which is weird. I didn't know you could drink one of those.
No, no, no.
She wants a mean tonic martini with olives.
Okay. She wants to play gin rummy with olives. Can you do that?
So, me and tonic. Yeah, so Jen goes, she delivers the order. She's like, gin and tonic with olives, please. And Kate is, like, so dead at this point. Like, she's brain dead because she's been doing all this work. She's like, okay, so she makes this gin and tonic with olives. And she's, even Kate afterwards is like, there are certain things that don't go together, you know? Like, gin and tonic with limes, martini with olives, not gin and tonic with olives, you know?
She's like, I should have known that, but this isn't Sesame Street.
Yeah. So Jen serves up this drink, and Lily's like, this isn't a martini. Yeah, you know, a martini, it's just like gin and vermouth. Yeah.
I think I'm going to really like this season of Kate, because this is forcing Kate to, like, go into mommy mode. You know, like, people who are like, I don't want to be a parent, and then they end up with, like, a teenager in need, like, who got kicked out of the house, and they end up raising somebody anyway. I don't know what kind of fucked up Lifetime movies I'm watching, but you know what I mean? She's right. Like, she's gonna have to baby these guests the whole time, because when she comes and she's like, no, she said she wanted a martini, and she goes, oh, well, that's a gin and tonic. Okay, a martini. We'll just go up to the other bar and find olives. Make sure to get the skinny jar. And you just see her face like, what is this bitch going to bring back?
And Darian like can hear her footsteps. Oh, no, she lost again. But but by
Did
the way,
Did you find
Jen,
the captain's cabin yet? I don't know.
Jen, meanwhile, when she served up that gin and tonic, she's like, oh, I didn't make the drink. I just passed it along. I was like, listen. First of all, you told Kate a gin and tonic. You can't absolve yourself of that. And that's also like, I hate that when a waiter does that. Like, oh, sorry, I didn't. Just say I'm sorry and take it back. Like, don't, like, try to get yourself off the hook.
Well, also, I just passed it along. You took the order, you dum-dum, and then you brought it back up, not knowing what a martini is.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm just trying to find the lobby of this hotel.
Yeah, and you know that the editors are actually being nice to these people, because there's a point later on the beach party where Kate's like, I'm leaving, bye. She leaves them there. Mm-hmm. And Jen is just trying to figure out how to get a cork out of a bottle.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, the producers were basically saying to themselves, okay, Kate was too nice last season because she was happy in this weird romance she was in. So this season, let's just try to piss her off in every shape and matter and form, whatever the phrase is. I can't say.
Let's just do everything we can to piss her off.
Out of shape, form. I can't. What's the phrase?
Way, shape, and form.
I don't know.
I don't know. Why starboard, are you asking me?
Starboard.
I
spell
starboard wrong. Starboard wrong.
Starboard. So the stakes come out, and I was like, okay, here's where the problem is. He's going to make some shitty-ass steaks, especially because he had to wait so long for the service. But nope, everyone liked the steaks.
Yep, and that already proves that theory wrong, that meat and potato guys don't even know how to make steaks, because usually they don't.
But he made the steaks. So then downstairs, Bruno is trying to work on, like, a very simple knot. He's like, I can't. He's like, I'm tired.
It's so hard.
I'm tired.
I like the next day. Well, the captain has a Nico discussion. Nico has had a really rough year. His brother passed away. It was so sad.
So I got teary-eyed.
Yeah, me too. And I hate being sad. So
Nico's so sweet. Nico's like, I still try to call his phone and he doesn't pick up. I'm like, I'm literally crying, Nico. How do you make me cry on the heels of the gin and tonic with olives?
I know. That's really so sad. So anyway, the next breakfast. The next morning when they show the clips of people waking up, Kate's hair is just like, she just has this look, and it's right in the night vision cam. She's like, ugh. That's her look when she gets off. It's so funny. She's like, oh my God, it's day two.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So they all are in the galley getting ready, and then Jen shows up, and Kate's like, oh, Jen, you look so cute in that uniform, but unfortunately, it's the wrong uniform. So could you be a darling and go downstairs? And she said, thanks.
She's like a Disney sidekick.
Oh, and Jen has that, like, that Rachel Dratch wide-open-eyed look. Like, huh? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
She's basically Nathan Lane played by Rachel Dratch in a Disney movie. Oh, and Kate's like, well, Brianna may not be the brightest bulb on the tree, but she knows which uniform to wear. So there's a start. So then the guys are jumping off the boat, and they're like, extreme, ever extreme.
Yeah. And Brianna's excited. They're going to be doing a beach picnic, and Brianna's excited. She's like, I'm so excited. I love doing a beach picnic. I'm like, well, you'll be changing your tune on that pretty soon, I'm sure, because I've never even done a beach picnic, and I'm exhausted every time they have to do one.
Beach picnics really complement my nomadic lifestyle.
Breaking news from the Watcher Crappens universe. Just got a notification. The one and only Heidi Dillon just started following us on Twitter. Everyone, Heidi Dillon.
Uh-oh, she knows we're not in the zip code, right?
We can't prank call her anymore.
Ooh, Heidi.
Sorry. Anyway, back to Below Deck.
So now we are getting ready for the barbecue, and
Bruno.
And there's a, like Bruno? They're showing the canopy tent thing, and Bruno's like, "What is this again?" And they go, "Canopy," and he goes, "Oh, canopy," and they're subtitling everything that Bruno says, which is a dream come true. I love when they do that.
Oh my goodness! There was also so then they're showing all these things like getting ready, and now we saw the first inkling of Matt being a crazy person, because he takes this jar of pickles and he pours them out into like a dish, but this one pickle won't come out, and he goes, this motherfucker, and they just cut away. Did you see that?
I didn't see him say motherfucker, but I did write down another sign, pickles in a bowl, because they could have showed anything else, but they're like, look, jarred pickles, as if any chef like is gonna make fresh pickles, you know. But I thought that was funny. They're like, actually, it's a jar.
Pickling is, you know who probably pickles is probably Brianna. She probably has a pickling cookbook, because it's like the trendy thing to do. I mean, And by the way, I pickle onions. I'm not above it.
Well, she probably pickles things because she's traveling all the time. You know, she'll probably pickle easy things like a pickled tuna sandwich. You never know when you're going to get hungry.
Yeah, but... She probably is the type of person that says, I love pickling cabbage, but then turns her nose up at kimchi. It's like, ew.
Kimchi! So they, the chef has that old Food Network bonus episode will never leave.
Who won, by the way, Food Network star this season? Because after July 4th, when I went to Orlando, I just felt like I never had time to watch it after that. Do you know who won?
You know, some things this summer, I was like, you're too stupid. I would just say that to the TV intern. I couldn't. After the last episode we covered where the lady made a potato salad with a can of potatoes and then crumbled up potato chips, I couldn't. So it's like, no.
Yeah.
No more. No more.
Oh, you know who won? Oh, I'm happy about this. The guy who won was, I think it was that that really dry gay guy with a crazy blazer.
No, that guy wasn't dry. He was like, well, slap my butt and call me Batootie.
No, yeah, that no, one? He wasn't dry. Like, I meant more just like his voice would be sort of, you're right, his comedy was not
just
dry.
Made sayings out of every single thing. He'd be like, this is morning and morning's all about woods and matches and grass growing on the sunshine, honey. I was like, what?
Yeah. Okay, I'm happy with that. I liked him. Okay, good. I support that. I'm just glad that helmet hair got eliminated because he was really terrible.
There were so many terrible people. So, but the anyway. Barbecue on the beach is happening, and another sign, the chef, you know, pre-made burgers, which, what else are you going to do? You can't grill on the beach, right? So, of course he is, but...
Can't they take a little hibachi? I don't know.
I don't know, but that made me, like, that's going to be, like, rubbery and lukewarm by the time they get there, right?
Wait a second. I could have sworn, in seasons past, we've seen Ben grilling on the beach before.
I don't know, but worried me for the.
I agree because I did not like the ratio of cheese on those burgers. I didn't. They were like sliders.
Yeah. So let's see. Beach.
So
arrivals.
Then they're trying to do a. Sorry. So while that's happening, they're putting up the slide because there's gonna be sliding, and Bruno has to do something. And like Bruno, you know what Bruno reminded me of at this point, like a video game, like an old Nintendo game where you don't really know how to control the characters yet. So like when you move to the right, your guy goes too far to the right, and then you go to the left, he goes too far to the left, and like he accidentally jumps when you're not supposed to jump. So it's like, okay, Bruno, come on, you gotta jump down in there. He's like, huh? And like, Bruno, jump in the water, jump in the water. So Bruno jumps in the water, which was hot when he came out, like with his shirt sticking to him. And then he like climbs onto the slide, like, okay, hook it, Bruno, hook it. He's like, what? Huh? What? Hook it, Bruno, hook it, Bruno. Oh no, don't get it by the water. Up, up, Bruno, no, no, down, no, up, up. God damn it, I can't control this, Bruno.
And then he jumps off of it, and Nico's going, stay, stay, stay. And now, look, we have to stress, this is not the boat out at sea, okay? It's right next to the yacht that he's working on it. And Nico's like, stay, stay, and he's swimming really hard.
And Bruno's like, it is hard to understand, like, so much. It's so hard to...
Why
so
would you
much.
Make kind of pee? This is too much. It's too much.
Oh, I'm tired. Not tired. Bruno, tired.
Then they showed Brianna jumping onto the Tinder and falling. And then they... like
yes.
She face planted.
Tender. The tender, not the Tinder.
Oh, the tender.
Yeah, because they'll yell at us.
Oh, yeah. Not the dating site. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
But she... Well, Tinder... Never mind. Never, Ronnie, just give it up. I'm telling
it's
myself.
It's not the dating
now,
site.
Okay?
That's what I think Hannah and Kate both separately have yelled at us about, calling it the Tinder instead of the Tender.
Well, let's just stay starboard.
It's called
enough.
The dinghy. Let's call it the dinghy.
We'll say starboard enough that it overshadows.
Starboard.
I still call it driving the boat. Okay. Like there's only so much I'm willing to learn for a TV show, people.
Oh, this boat is going like 15 knots.
Knots?
Oh, no, knots.
Oh,
15 God.
Knots? I can't do one knot.
It's like, damn it, I should have watched this YouTube video. So they show her falling three times, which is gonna, which is a good sign for the editors this season. The
universe was guiding her, you know?
Yeah, so Kate finally on the beach is like, okay, I'm going to leave the crew with you guys. You're going to see that bloody idiot over there is for you and the girl over there who can't work a corkscrew. Good luck. Bye.
And then you just see like a dust cloud in the shape of Kate because she gets out of there so fast. She just like flings herself onto the dinghy.
She does. And she's like, Nico and I have had our issues, but trauma bonds people. So.
Next week, the island burns down under the care of all the newbies.
Good Lord. Oh, I cannot wait to see if they even make it out alive. You know, how many are going to make it out alive? But they sure did, and thank God, because those people who are relying on that trampoline park are going to get their owners back.
So good. So fun. I hope Shannon Medora liked it, because as she said on our live show, she goes, I don't know about you guys, but I'm watching that Below Deck.
I've always wondered what people are talking about when they're cleaning my fancy toilet.
Do I like my deck above? Below? Below?
Below?
Do I like my toilet paper shaped into a diamond with other people's fingerprints all over them?
No.
No.
I never did think about that before, but if you use that, that is like putting someone else's fingerprint on your butt. So maybe like avoid the diamond part.
Yeah. General, I think they still have it worse. It's like when Matt, like when he tested the chicken by putting his finger on it, you know, in the frying pan.
Oh, yeah. And he pulls everything out with his hands. The steaks, the hamburgers, everything.
You know, though, I don't mind.
I mind. It bugs me because after it's cooked, that's not the time to be touching with your hands. Like, get some tongs. You have tongs, sir.
There's you know a time who else for would hands mind? And a time for love. Yes.
The restaurant inspectors would mind. They would mind that very much.
They would also mind the cockroaches that you don't want to kill.
Also, Gail Simmons would mind. So let's keep it together. Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of our first Below Deck. It looks like it's going to be a great season. Everybody, thanks so much for supporting us. We are going to get out of here.
Yeah. Like, isn't this weird? There's like nothing we have to advertise or say.
Yeah,
or
what
push.
The hell? Thanks
we
a lot.
We don't have to promote anything. I'm like, is there something we have to remind people to do?
I don't think so. I think we just have to say bye now. So everybody, bye.
Say bye. Bye, everyone. Remember, Luann next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.